Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Transformation Cafe, a weekly half hour of light, topical conversation about spirituality, healing, energy, alternative medicine, higher levels of consciousness, and other insights. We're glad you're here. Transformation Cafe, a fun way to nourish your spirit. Now, let's get started and introduce our diners for tonight's show.
We want to welcome everybody to the Transformation Cafe. As always, we're very happy to have Miss Gloria joining us tonight. Miss Gloria, how are you?
I am doing great, thank you.
It's great to have you with us. And thanks for asking. I am Robin Misevich, your regular host here at the Transformation Cafe, and I am doing well. We had a passing this weekend with Dr. Wayne Dyer, and it's just been really an interesting few days, really looking at the internet to see how people are expressing their gratitude and sorrows and just a lot of different mixed emotions for his passing. And I thought it would really be a great opportunity to, if anyone is not familiar with Wayne, to kind of talk a little bit about his life and some of the messages and stuff that he's really carried for quite some time. And I talked to Gloria about the fact that we were going to be talking about Wayne today and just kind of getting her insights on her her thoughts about Wayne. So when did you learn about Wayne Dyer, Gloria?
That I still don't know very much about him. I looked online, and apparently his first book that set the wheels in motion or the direction he was doing was a book called The Erroneous Zones, and the stats said that it sold 35 million copies.
Yeah, I was watching an interview with him with Oprah that was a couple of years ago, and he said at that point he had sold 86 million copies. That's amazing. I know.
It is.
I can't even really put that wrap that around my mind. 86 million copies of the book.
You can only hope so well.
I know, exactly. And you know, and I'm not a part of that 86 million. So what can I say?
not either. My mother was.
I
do remember the book in the bookcase, but I never did read it.
Okay. And my first introduction to Wayne was one book that he called Real Magic. And, boy, I got a hold of that book, and it really did help me to really see just a totally different perspective on things. Because that book was about really listening to that inner guidance that you have within us. We all have that small voice inside of us that it's kind of like the conscience, you know, our conscience that, you know, saying, you know, you really shouldn't eat that, or we should be going here, we should be going there. It's being able to listen to those promptings within us that are really seeking to give us our highest wisdom and our highest good. And his recommendations with that book was really just to start practicing listening to, you know, what felt right to be able to do. And of course, it's, you know, positive and empowering suggestions. Being able to move through that. And boy, I started really just implementing that into my life as much as I could. And it was a practice for sure. I was just kind of watching myself. And it really did. It really helped me to develop as a person and just didn't have that much more, you know, treating others the way I wanted to be treated and, you know, things like that with just a lot of the good mindset of things that really have helped me over the years to just continue to develop myself. I mean, because that's one thing, you know, they're calling him a legend for his ambition and also his inspiration to other people and just some of the wonderful things. So after it kind of goes through the show, I have a collection of a few quotes and things like that that he's known for that Mind Body Green had on there a couple days ago. And if you go to Louise Hay with Hay House, and I know Eckhart Tolle had a wonderful message on Facebook for him of just gratitude and the way that he really was just a pioneer, but also a an advocate for positive consciousness and for people to really seek to know that they are a part of God and to know that they can be a part of co-creating the world and having it just be something that was very, very positive. So one of the things that I had when I was looking up just different things that wanted to let people know about him was that he really was encouraging everybody to come from a first name basis. I remember an interview a long time ago with him where he talked about, you know, he'd go on to these talk shows and everybody, the celebrities and stuff like that, they were, everybody was being called by their last names. And he got in there real early and really just, he'd go around, shake every hand, you know, and say, "Hi, I'm Wayne," you know, and whether it was, you know, just any celebrity, you know, Dick Clark or, and I mean, just anybody, he would basically really seek to come from a first name basis with that. And part of his teachings and stuff like that, like pulling your own strings and things like that, was really coming from that mindset of, you know, we've got a lot of belief systems that on the planet that really would want to make there to be a hierarchy, depending on what kind of occupation you have, how much money you have, when in reality we're all really seeking to just be people interacting with one another. And what would that look like? And being able to be respectful, but also be in a place of not lowering yourself to anybody else, just depending on who is in the room. So I really took that to heart. One time I had gone into my doctor after I had that, and I really had the mindset of, you know, we're just two people, and his job is to help me to feel better, and, you know, he actually kind of works for me because I'm paying him to be able to give me some advice instead of having him be the authority, being someone who basically is there to give me his sense of things, and it's up to me to be able to choose, you know, what I want to do with that information. So I thought that was just really a helpful mindset for being able to come from being more empowered and taking information in and having your own personal choice of what you're going to do with that kinds of stuff. So that kind of thing, that's something that Wayne was very much an advocate for, and really helping people to get connected with different stuff. So he also had a lot of wonderful conversations with Deepak Chopra, Marianne Williamson. He was known to, you know, to get together with these really well-known other people that were carrying similar mindsets and just have these wonderful discussions where they would sit, and that would be like a whole day workshop where they would sit and have different kinds of topics that they would go through and have people come up and ask questions. And it was very stimulating and interesting to see their perspectives on how people would just, you know, deal with the day-to-day different stuff on it. It kind of reminds me of Oprah Winfrey had a on her own channel not that long ago. She had a really great series of shows that were called Help Desk, and it's very similar to that, where they would have people coming. They'd set up a couple desks with just a couple chairs, and they would, you know, one of the Deepak or any of these other people would sit down on one side, and then they would basically have it. You know, people could just stand in line and basically come up and ask questions. And they were getting, you know, real-time advice and helping people to come from a very empowered way of being able to look at their situations and just have some spiritual guidance with that, and helping them to realize that they knew more than they thought they did. So it was always just a very empowering way to be able to look at everything. So when it comes to, you know, having the self-help and all that, one thing what Gloria had been sharing with me was Bernie Siegel. And that's kind of the same. It's interesting that we were having all of these real teachers for self-help that were coming up at the same time, just like Wayne was, and the way that they were able to help to shift our understandings of the way the mind works, the way the world works, and things like that. So was there things that kind of stuck out for you that Bernie was sharing? I'm sure that were probably similar to Wayne's stuff. I'd be interested to see what you've gotten out of what you had gotten from Bernie Siegel.
I missed the first part of the question.
Oh, I was talking about Bernie Siegel and about insights, yes, and things like that you had gotten from him. Just wondering if there's anything that you'd want to share about that.
I didn't get anything from him. I really didn't follow his work at all. And so, you know, I didn't really know too much about him, and his work really didn't resonate with me, just like, you know, some people resonate. I know some people who are very strongly resonating with Eckhart Tolle, and I don't. And so everybody has their own, but Wayne Dyer wasn't one of mine.
No, I was talking about Bernie Siegel.
Ah, Bernie Siegel. I saw him at a conference the first time in Vegas, and was quite taken with his ability to connect with people in mm-hmm. the audience. And he just had a sense of authority about him that was very calm. And the story that he told was that he had overcome cancer
And so it was his story. You know, he was one of the early ones with the My Story. So it was, I think I got from him just about being connected to the audience and being calm and just, you know, saying your story, just telling who you are and being able to connect with how you are as a human being.
Yeah, I think one of the real strong things that's been going on with a lot of the self-help teachers over the last, you know, say 30, 40 years is everybody's been really wonderful about, you know, taking adversities in their life and being able to move them into something that would be very positive. I mean, that's one thing with, they really talk about Wayne Dyer being someone who was almost like a Dickens character, where he was an orphan. His mom felt really overwhelmed and wound up putting him into foster care just because of the family situation and wanted to make sure that he was going to be getting taken care of because his dad wound up abandoning him when he was really young. And just all the different things that he learned through being in foster care. I mean, one story that he has, he had just gotten into school, and he had come walking home after school, and his foster, the lady that was doing foster care with him, she was on the phone with one of the people from school and talking about how Wayne had been, was overhearing it, and he thought he heard her say that he was a scurvy elephant. And he was really confused by that. He kind of shook his head and things like that. And later on, he went to ask her about it, and he said, you know, why do they think I'm a scurvy elephant? And she said, no, no, Wayne, you're a disturbing element. In school, because he was always so positive thinking and just had this different way of looking at the world that, you know, when it came to curriculum and different things that were going on in school, it was very, very interesting to see that would be something that he would add on there. And boy, he just loved to tell that story, you know, even in his later presentations and stuff like that. Because, oh my gosh, he's really been in a presenter and writer for over about 45 years. So just lots of information, lots of different books and stuff that he contributed to, that he became the scurvy elephant out there for just helping to shake things up and have people looking at things in a different way. One thing I thought was interesting about Wayne was when he was a graduate student, he got to work with Maslow, with the hierarchy. Are you familiar with that, Gloria?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, you know, that's got to be a real underlining thing that I think he came to. Because, I mean, if you look at the hierarchy of needs, it's always been, you know, self-actualized. It's the highest, you know, level of knowing and what's going on with all that stuff. So I think that was kind of an interesting underlining principle that he really kind of carried with everything, too, especially knowing his background and having being an element of just everything that he wrote about and talked about and things like that, of being self-actualized. And I think he really modeled that when it came down to just his different practices and stuff that he did for himself. So it was just kind of an interesting thing that he had going on for all that. Are you familiar with Ram Dass?
The name.
Okay. Because when Wayne was younger, Ram Dass back in New York would be on radio shows, and he would talk about the understanding that he had from a spiritual perspective. And Wayne really really appreciated his message and his mindset, and wound up really seeking him out to be able to learn from him and help to develop his spiritual perspectives on different things. And I know as later on in his life, Wayne really went out of his way to make sure that Ram had was cared for and things like that, because he wound up moving him to Maui where he lived, and he wound up having a home not that far from where Wayne lived. So he was very much looking after, you know, just people he loved and cared about. So that was really cool that he had that going on. And one of the other things that Wayne was really good in, he went through a lot of different phases of looking at very dynamic spiritual teachers, and one of them was St. Francis. And he wound up going to the convent. I don't think it was a convent. I think it was just basically the Church of St. Francis. Was that in Italy? That wasn't in Italy, was it? Do you know?
Are you talking about a monastery?
Uh-huh, the monastery where St. Francis had his church. Is that in France or is it in Italy?
I don't know. I've read about a couple of different monasteries that, but they were in Spain, and I don't think they were related to St. Francis.
Yeah, yeah. But I apologize for that, knowing a little bit more information about it. But he just really studied about St. Francis and just his impact on nature and how animals were just really drawn to him. Reminds me of there's a guy, I'm not sure if he's still there or not, but on Maui, or actually on Oahu, in the on the North Shore, there's a Buddhist temple there that they call him the Bird Man, and there's this guy that comes and he just goes out and there's koi fish in this pond that's around this monastery and this Buddhist temple. And it's just real interesting how the fish will draw to them. I mean, they'll only come up to just the edge of the water, and they go toward him, and the guys will put his hands out, and all these birds will land on him. They call him the Bird Man. I think that's real interesting. So, there are people out there that really resonate and have that vibration where other animals are attracted to them and just know them from just a very peaceful place. So it's still something that exists in the world when it comes to the practices of being very clear-minded in yourself. And I think, having that divine love and spiritual love that so many teachers have really encouraged us to have. So it's just a real interesting thing to see how people are, like I said, responding to Wayne's passing and how that would be and just the different practices and stuff he did. So he had a movie come out that was called The Shift, and it was helped to be co-produced by Hay House, and I think it came out about 3 years ago, two, 3 years ago, and it was really his longing to just put out all of the really real meaningful lessons that he wanted the world to know about. It was his legacy of having those different things being incorporated into a movie, and it was pretty delightful, some of the different things that he was teaching about. One thing I loved is talked about how the ocean was a representation of God, and then even a cup of the ocean was showing a connection and the presence of God's presence within us. Because, you take a cup of the ocean, we're still ocean when it comes to just a sense of a smaller expression of a larger body of existence. And we could pour that back in again, and we would become one again with the ocean of God. So I think that was a real neat metaphor for being able to see how spirit contains it. And when he was talking to Oprah on her show with the interview that he had, he said even imagine that the cup of the ocean, when you could put it down, and that the sun would evaporate, it turned into a cloud, and it would rain and find its way back to the larger ocean. So it's through all the different processes of life, it would still find its way back to source. I thought that was a really neat, a modeling for how we fit into the whole thing when it comes to being part of the oneness of all things. So just very, very cool. Very, very cool with all that and having it be something that's a good teaching for different people.
Hello?